Welcome to Real Talk. I'm Holly McClure, and I am grateful and happy and glad to be with you today. You know, decades ago, the American formal education system was designed to meet the challenging needs of the American kids and that were growing up in the Industrial Revolution era, right? I mean, we came out of the war. We had the traditional prayer in school and the flag. That's how I grew up. A lot of people then, it changed over the years. What was once a time of growth has changed now to become the current economic climate. I mean, that systems no longer are able to meet the needs, right? I mean, the climate now is, we don't have funding. Issues like funding, safety, we can't protect the kids. Challenges with technology and education, charter schools, school vouchers, people are protesting that. The dumbing down of students. What is it now? The recent thing that came out that said after the pandemic, kids are worse off, that some fourth graders couldn't even read. I mean, that the test scores overall are horrible, not to mention the woke agenda that has crept into not only the universities, but it's trickled down to elementary schools as well. And, I mean, you know, we're the transgenders doing book clubs and library and dancing for children in schools. Come on. The LGBT, the trans, the other agendas, they've also seeped into the common sense ways that we have raised our children and taught our children. So what is a parent to do? Well, one answer is homeschool, but that word sometimes paralyzes parents. Homeschool, and baffles others. And that's why I'm bringing someone on today who has an expertise in homeschooling, who can provide answers for you that can help you make that decision. It's not hard, and there's so many ways to do it these days that are easy. According to the National Home Education Research Institute, there were 3.7 million homeschool children, students, in the U.S. during the 2021 school year. And the Institute's data also shows that from March to early May of 22, 5.22% of all school-age children were homeschooled. So there are more and more and more parents going, this is the way I got to go. I'm pulling them out of that socialist training and regime, and I'm teaching my children what they need to know. And you're going to find out that what you're going to teach them, they'll be ahead of even the kids in public school. And yet, they'll enjoy the same wonderful benefits and the same sports and the same fun things, even more so. So stay with me. My next guest coming up is Michelle Holliday, who can help answer all your questions. Christian FM. My guest today is a beautiful woman and friend who I have known for many years. She is a graduate of the University of Southern California with a Bachelor of Arts in Communication, Arts, and Sciences. Michelle Holliday is the founder and executive director of Homeschool Campus. She founded Homeschool Campus, Inc. in 2010 with 8 campuses throughout Southern California and over 3,000 students prior to the pandemic. And then Michelle and her husband, Craig, continue to serve the homeschool community with live on classes. I have online classes so that students, wherever you're at, you can learn across the nation and the world, as a matter of fact. So I might add, she has raised 4 amazingly talented children who are now in their teens and early 20s, and she has homeschooled them all and is helping so many people. Michelle, welcome.
Hi, Holly. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I'm telling you, I wanted to do a show on homeschooling because of all that's going on in public schools these days, and there's no better person I can ask than you, because you have weathered through a lot of this and and have the answers to so many questions and for so many people. You know, you have seen the changes over the years from when you first started homeschooling. What are some of the conditions now? Like in the old days, kids probably came to you out of public school with certain things going on culturally with them, but now, what are you seeing when parents are bringing these kids saying, we're out of public schools, we want to get homeschooled?
Sure, sure. If anything, I've seen a rise in, I guess you would say, more daring parents, where they're kind of just diving in and saying, you know, enough. And we always see an influx of growth in October and November, right, where they continue after the summer. They kind of have a feeling that they want to be done with the public school system. They put their kids back in school. And then October, November comes, and, you know, for a variety of reasons, they abruptly pull them out. I think in the beginning, 12 years ago when we did it, you know, it wasn't as common. It was kind of still somewhat frowned upon, or they thought you were different if you homeschooled, yet people were always so intrigued with the maturity, you know, speaking of my children. And back then it was kids were bullied in school. They had attention deficit issues. Anxiety was a biggie. And today we're seeing more of this, you know, all of the same, but definitely a desperation of I'm losing my child. I don't know who my child is anymore. My child is coming home with anxiety and panic attacks or depression. They can't focus. I can't help them. I don't understand this Common Core math, you know, the different curriculum in history that's being taught. So there's definitely a shift of fearful parents. And it's just such an honor when they find us and they come to me because we tell them you've come to the right place and get ready to have your life changed in a way that you would never imagine. And, you know, it's been a real blessing. So
you give people hope.
Yes, absolutely. There's absolutely hope for sure. Yes. And there's so much, you know, 12 years later, there are so many resources available to parents. And, you know, another word for homeschooling really is customized learning. You know, I would say that's even a more appropriate word, right? Because when you think homeschool, if you're ignorant on the terms, you might think, you know, you're just somebody that doesn't get out and you're in the house all day. But it's actually quite the opposite. You know, it's more like your lives are so busy now. And the world becomes your classroom. So there's just so many resources and classes that you can take and field trips and internships and missions trips and music lessons. So it's a really exciting time, I think, to homeschool, to try that out. Yes.
I was watching Fox News the other day, and I saw a commercial, and these kids start standing on top of their desk when they're out in a field and on top of their desk mm-hmm. when they're somewhere else. And I'm thinking, what is this? And then it said, Abeka programs for homeschooling. I'm like, wow, that's so mm-hmm. encouraging and so cool. And in fact, that's one of the reasons I thought I'm going to give Michelle a call, because they're advertising now, which means they are reaching an element of the population that probably weren't doing it before, but now more than ever, after they're hearing yes. what's going on in public schools with transgender and LGBTQ and all the other pressures, the sexual, you know, boys and girls bathrooms and sports. No wonder, you know, no yes. wonder.
Yes, yes. And you know, my heart breaks for these kids. I mean, they are wounded, wounded teens, wounded children, wounded parents. You know, they've just been beat up emotionally. You know, that's something else that we're seeing more nowadays. But again, it's I love that picture of, you know, being out in the field and you know, a desk and learning, because, you know, some of the most fondest memories to me were my children were younger and reading became like dessert to them. It was the highlight of our day. I was almost neurotic about it. I would like track how many hours a day, and I would clock, no lie, 3 hours a day, you know, in total between morning and night of reading. And, you know, books like Chronicles of Narnia and, you know, lots of fantasy books when they're younger. And you can always read several levels above their grade level when they're younger. So if you have younger siblings, and you'd be surprised what those little ones pick up. But that is some of the sweetest memories of the reading. And my children remember that, you know, even, and I kept, we probably have about 1,000 books that we've collected, and they're treasures to me. I will not get rid of them. And they all kind of take dibs of, you know, which ones they want. You know, I get these books because they bring back so many fond memories. Mm-hmm. And, but it's just such a sweet time, for families when you're young, you know, is reading and enforcing reading. And then you can go, you know, further when you, again, you mentioned the desk out in the field. You know, some of the greatest books are reading about nature. And then you go on a field, you get field guidebooks, and you go on nature walks together. And anyway, you just learn about, you know, reading and research and mm-hmm. digging deeper. So it's just a precious time.
I know my daughter was in Steamboat Springs, Colorado with her little ones and thought, you know what, I'm not putting them in that liberal school. So for 7 years, you know, she homeschooled and started homeschooling there. And then they moved to Michigan and she's continued that. And, you know, she's one of those organized women, much like you, Michelle, where, you know, they've got their mind, they can do that and like 10 other things at the same time. You did your four. I watched you from the time they were little infants and babies in Southern California, and you know, we went to the beach and did fun things. That I remember going to Disneyland with your kids when other kids were not out of school.
Yes.
And we had fun going to Disneyland and doing stuff because they were homeschooled. But for other parents listening to you, you know, can any parent do it? Are there programs now that really anyone can do it? You don't have to have a certain kind of personality or you know, A-list personality or anything. Anyone can do it.
Absolutely. You know, I was one of those kids that had ADD, dyslexia, really bad. You know, I didn't realize it till I was older. And if I could do it, anybody could do it. And in fact, how we got started is we were in a marriage counselor, my husband and I, because our life was, you know, the kids were in school, probably up to the oldest was first grade. And again, I have four, like you mentioned, and then I pulled them out when they were in first grade. But our life was, you know, wake up, hurry up, get in the car, get your lunch, get your stuff. And then after school, come on, get in the car. We're going to sports. And then wake up, get up. And the counselor said, you need to pull your kids out and homeschool them. You're stressed. They're stressed. And I thought, you want me to do what? You know, I didn't enjoy school. I struggled in school, but, you know, that's when I founded the homeschool campus. When my oldest hit third grade, for me, I realized, you know what, it's going to be difficult to teach him how to write a paragraph, right? To really write when I have three other children, you know, they all need my attention. So back then, you know, I had churches that had empty Sunday school space, and I thought, I'm going to rent some spaces and start classes so that I can have my children attend classes. And then I take on the role of managing, right? Managing their schooling, because don't we do that anyway, right? As they grow and progress, they bring home what? Homework. So instantly we eliminated this thing called homework. There was no more homework because we were just doing work all day, whatever fit our schedule. And if there wasn't a class that was offered, you know, back then you might go over to a, you know, in another city and somebody's using their living room to teach. We have this entrepreneurs club, and then I would drive to another place for science. But this building became available, and I started homeschool campus and said, you know what, I'm going to share it with the community. And we opened our doors with 55 students, you know, that first year. But that's what I mean by there's so many resources available where teachers take on the role where they're the ones that dish out the work, what to do, what to read. And as long as you have a parent that is involved and that's going to follow through and make sure they do their work, just like, again, we did with homework, you can do it. And that's what you're paying for. You're paying for that service for somebody not only to meet with your students once or twice a week in a class, whether it's live online or if it's in person, but you also have them, you know, keeping information in, say, a portal, a student portal. So they're the ones coming up with the lesson plans. And by lesson plans, I don't mean where you have to take on the role of a public school teacher. Most of your learning really should be reading. And that's when I mentioned earlier about the importance of starting them when they're young, where you as the mom read literature, read out loud. You want them to, reading is their friend, because, you know, soon when they're ready, they're going to be again reading about history and reading science. So it's more of a reinforcement role.
You know, also these days with the lack of teaching our real history, the lack of teaching about slavery, the lack of teaching about George Washington, the lack of teaching about, and with the way it's been twisted and turned, you know, it makes me ill how some kids are really not learning the real true history. So I bet that you guys have specialized programs where kids are actually really learning real history and doing it with Christians as well as non-Christians, because you have both, right? You have people that are believers and non-believers.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, with homeschooling continuing to grow, there's two organizations. One is called the Great Homeschool Convention, and the other was CHEA, Christian Homeschool Educators Association. They travel all over the U.S., and they have these conventions. Those are great opportunities for parents to attend those. I highly recommend. And, you know, essentially it's just a big conference room where you have guest speakers throughout the week, but you also have the vendors of these different curriculum packets. And again, I don't like the word curriculum because you think of school. So, you know, reading packets that you can do. And you get to talk firsthand to the publishers of these companies and ask those hard questions about history. And you will find that, you know, people that homeschool, a lot of us are very like-minded. And they'll have the same morals and as you do, right, mm-hmm. as you're talking about with history, preserving real history. But, you know, you can ask those hard questions at these organizations where you can touch the books, feel the books, and find out if it's a fit for you. You know, there's a lot of competing vendors, too, buying for your business because there's a lot of great resources out there. So those conventions are wonderful. Again, the Great Homeschool Convention and CHEA, C-H-E-A.
C-H-E-A. Okay. Now, okay, any funny stories you have that you can remember about, you know, trying to teach your kids something and it backfired or doing an experiment or I don't know. You know, there's always usually fun. I know it's always been active around your household through the years, but anything you can think of on the top of your head or a fun tip?
I can't really think of any funny stories other than, I mean, how, you know, like a fun thing that we did. It was fun for me, and it was funny, I guess, for the kids where, you know, I would go to Trader Joe's in the market, and we have this joke where the people that work at Trader Joe's have literally watched my children grow up through the years, you know?
Yes.
And they all say that they, every time we want to go in, please make sure you invite us to the wedding.
Oh, that's funny.
I would be the proud mom in line, like, oh, we're homeschooled. You know, I was always afraid, like, social services was going to come arrest me or something, right? Why am I 11 o'clock with four kids in the market? But I taught them a lot of math while we were in there, you know, made that. And this would be a fun story. In Trader Joe's, we'd always play a game, and I suppose this is how they got to know us. So we'd get up to the line, and one way to get the kids engaged, right, and teaching them about the value of money and quantities and what things cost, we would guess the total price that would come into the basket. And would you know, which one of my kids do you think got it on the money three times? Which one do you think, Holly?
Oh, my gosh. Would Matthew?
Matthew.
Yep.
And Matthew's a magician today, and that kid makes money disappear.
Man, he's smart. That yes. kid is smart.
And he got it, like, you know, dollars and cents. So it was a joke. Like, whatever I'm teaching them,
that's true. And they did things like sports and wrestling and other stuff, too. I think the misnomer is it's not the mothers with hair pulled behind their head with buns and long skirts and no makeup and your life is boring. I mean, you had your kids in all different kinds of sports and acting, involved with community theater. I mean, I think you had the most busiest children I know, even with parents in public schools, because you were always doing something.
We were busy. We had a rule that worked for us. Every child will learn an instrument because that's like math and it's a workout on the brain. So you will learn an instrument and you will do a sport, you know, and hopefully they enjoyed it. And, you know, as you know, with my children, they did. They enjoyed it. The girls later, their sport, they all four did tennis. That worked for our family because we can all go, you know, on the weekends. But then the girls got into musical theater, which involved a lot of dancing. So, you know, I just wanted them physically active. And the boys continued in tennis and now wrestling, yes.
Yeah.
Yep, we were very active.
And
very.
Gianna was the lead in Mary Poppins and other community theater plays, you know, that were, I mean, amazing. Their voice and singing, and Gianna has done that too. She's recorded some songs. I mean, they've gone on to really use those skills.
Yes, because we had an environment where I was able to kind of pull back a little bit. I'd say when each of them began to hit fifth, sixth, seventh grade, you begin to see the uniqueness, right? Almost you study them like they're a plant or a flower, right? And they're all unique. And it's so beautiful because you see how God created them, each unique, each different. And, you know, I just tried to give them an environment that would cultivate their God-given talents and strengths. And then I kind of paved the way. And, you know, they each kind of branched off. You know, my daughter Gianna just loved watching the Food Network. You know, she grew up watching that, and she loved photography. And today she's amazing. She works for the Gerson Method, and she's a personal chef for somebody suffering from cancer. And, you know, she's got an amazing skill that is helping people. We've got Gabriella, you know, loved music, and from the time she was little, and she really battled with dyslexia. In fact, she was my number three child, and she was tested where there was a big discrepancy between the IQ was really high, but her grade level was lower. Public school would have crushed her, but she ended up, you know, what's beautiful is she can write, and you've heard her write. She writes songs and comes up with chords on the guitar that, you know, even her guitar instructor said, I don't know how you taught that, you know, how you did that. I never taught you that. And she just, it's a gift, right? But again, homeschooling gave her the opportunity to know that and to discover that gift, you know, on her own. And today she's now, you know, does recording, and she's an artist, and she's performing at a variety of places. And then, of course, you know, the boys, they're doing fantastic as well.
You know, one thing that you told me the other day, and I thought this is important to mention too, now your kids are in college. Well, you're not homeschooling them in college. So they're going to get courses and tell what some of the experiences are that they've run into. But because of their foundation, you feel okay and confident that that's not going to thwart them and they'll be lost in the university life.
Yeah, you know, what I did with my older two is when they were in high school, well, actually, they were a lot younger. They started junior college. And you can, at least in the state of California, I'm pretty certain it's the same elsewhere, you can take junior college starting as a junior and senior in high school. You don't pay anything for it. You just pay for the books. So they began to do dual credit. So they would get their high school credit and then start working towards their AA at the same time. So they were always very well acclimated because I started them with one course at a time. My number third child, the one with the dyslexia and all that, she's going to a junior college right now, just about to finish her AA degree. You know, again, because I always had them involved in classes and sports and theater, they were always kind of thrust into a new environment where they didn't have this conformity, you know, that you often see with kids that are in, you know, just with their group of peers. So they were very well, they adjusted like it was normal to them, you know, because again, I exposed them to lots of different environments with lots of different age groups and where learning takes place. So they did very well. If anything, you know, all four of them, I mean, I'll be truthful, there absolutely is a difference in the maturity. They're more cultured, they're more seasoned, they're more comfortable being around adults, because when you go to these homeschool events, whether it be a field trip or classes, you know, the mom brings the little baby in the papoose and then the third grader, and so you're very comfortable, you know, growing up around all of that. So if anything, there was a little frustration in my children that they had to work through because they were ahead maturity wise, right? They were more adult in their thinking, and that was a little bit of adjustment for them, and they were frustrated with that. They almost found that more at the university when it's more true grade level, whereas at a junior college, it seemed like it was a smoother transition because you have adults in those classes.
And you were saying to me that even they were facing having to write a paper on LGBTQ or whatever. And then one of them had to write a paper on that. There was other stuff. So, I mean, they're still getting faced with things in the world, but, you know, they've got a foundation of how to deal with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. They come home and they roll their eyes and they tell me and they say, thank you so much for homeschooling. And I just kind of, whew. And they say, we're definitely going to homeschool, you know, at least through junior high, you know, Right. Maybe high school. But yes, they're solid. Thank God.
Any tips for parents that you feel like, okay, they're going to get into this world of homeschooling, you know, are there any tips to make it easy? Is there a place where they can go to see tips like this? I know you have a website that's very, very helpful as far as that goes, but maybe some things that you feel you can pass along, like for them not to be afraid to dive into the world of homeschooling.
Yeah. So, you know what? I'm not into social media, but I got to tell you, I hand it to the social media folks when it comes to homeschooling. So go to Facebook and just do a search in your area and then put the word homeschool, you know, so put your city and then homeschool. You'll see a whole bunch of groups, and that's where you can begin to build a community and make friendships, okay? And that's where you'll see what resources are available in your local community. That's a great way to start. The second thing is those two homeschool conventions that I mentioned, going to those websites, seeing where, you know, they're going to have an event and if it's in your area. The other is, I love this book, one of my favorites, called Honey for a Child's Heart. Honey for a Child's Heart. And it's a book with a book list. It's a book list within a book of what to read out loud to your children or what they can read at those young and even teenage years. That'll get you excited about homeschooling. That's the sweetness of homeschooling. I would look in those areas, and if anything, it would be overwhelming at first, but that's really good news, right? Because once you take a step back and relax and know that God has a plan and a direction and a purpose and he will lead, the good news is there are many resources. There's lots of paths to go down for homeschool. So that's where I would start, the Facebook especially.
Good. Okay, and last question. If someone's listening and they're like, well, I want to do what she's doing, can people go online and attend your homeschool classes or do what you're doing? Is that how you've structured it now?
Yes, yeah, so my organization, again, homeschoolcampus.org, we offer, we have in-person classes. We're out in Southern California, but ever since COVID, you know, like everybody else, we launched the live online. So we have fantastic instructors that are very well seasoned, very well equipped with the live online format. That's ideal for people who travel or they go on vacation or, you know, you just want that online tutor to check in with your student once a week because you have a customized plan that you're already doing at home. So they can come to our website. They can also hit our contact us button and fill out their information. They'll get a personal phone call from me free of charge. I'd love to talk to them and encourage them. And as far as doing what I do, well, I'll be honest, it's a lot of work. I won't lie. I work nights. I work weekends. I work 7 days a week. I mean, I just do. And it's gotten very, very, very busy these last few years. It's difficult to do.
Well, I don't mean what you're doing. I just mean when you homeschool kids, because what you do is unique, and I wouldn't put that on anybody, because you're right.
You have to be called.
And you definitely are. You are a precious friend. Thank you for coming and sharing with the audience all the tips that you have shared. Thank you for, you know, giving them at least some places they can go and get resources and find out information and see if it's for them. And I'm betting that as people prepare for the summer and get ready for next school year, which some of them start in August, it's never too soon to start thinking about and checking into it to see what they'll do with their kids for the next year.
That's right. That's right. And you can always put them back into the school. So that's what's the beauty of it as well.
And then they'll beg to get out.
That's right. That's right.
In fact, you used to threaten your kids, okay, I'm going to send you to public school if you don't
that's
do this.
Right. There you go.
I love it. You are precious. Thank you, my dear friend. And God's best to you and blessings on you and the sweet children and Craig.
I love you, Holly.
Love you too. I hope this show has helped you today, and I hope it's inspired you, and maybe you're a grandparent, and you can give this to your daughter or son and say, hey, here's a way to teach your kids if they've been looking for answers about getting their kids out of public school and getting them into a homeschool program that will teach them, they can learn from. Again, she gave out two great sites, the Great American Homeschool Convention that you can go to, CHEA, C-H-E-A, and her website, homeschoolcampus.org. You can go there and get all sorts of information and answers and at least start your journey. I hope that God blesses you with some information so that you can make the right decisions and raise your children up in the way they should go. Because when they are old, they will not depart from it because God helped you do it all along the way. God bless. Until next week.